B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
3 o'clock, hour. Mike Missinelli Show, brought to us by Corpolis Bakery and Deli. Brian Westbrook at 4. Don't forget, it's a Friday with B-West from 4 to 5. As we're doing Tell Me Something Good. Anything that you feel good about right now, because everything's been really heavy. And I know you might have some leftover feelings on the heaviness, and we'll continue to talk about that with Brian Westbrook in the 4 o'clock hour. And we're also playing the 10, the draft, the 10 draft. So I'm taking different categories, and we're drafting to get a top 10. We are currently in movies right now, where the number one draft pick was Godfather. Number two draft pick was Godfather 2. Number three draft pick, Wizard of Oz. Number four was Pulp Fiction. And now we get back to the phones with AJ in West Philly. What's up, AJ?
What up, Mike?
What's going on?
One, I'm excited for my Sixers. I think we can win the championship through this little bubble situation.
What makes you think that?
We got the height advantage, Mike. It's like going to the YMCA. You got the tallest guy on the court. Most time that team advances. You got to have a better player in order to win.
Okay.
But most of the time, height wins.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
All right.
Now, the most thing I'm most happiest for is the internet. So we can research and look when these people are talking about things in history and you know, be able to uncover these truths, man. Mm-hmm. Now, I sent you two emails, Mike, that I hope that you can consider. And I wanted to ask you at least two questions while I got your time on the phone.
All right, go ahead.
The first question I wanted to ask you was, could it be possible that the African Americans here are the children of Israel, as Deshaun was trying to point out? Could that be possible?
I have not studied it enough to make any kind of a conclusion on that.
All right.
Something that I'm just not familiar with.
The other question, I figured you had it because, of course, I studied it. I know it. Mm-hmm. I would love to share it with you, but not on here.
Okay.
Now, what I'm seeing is just like Kaepernick with the flag. Kaepernick was talking about a potential George Floyd situation. Everybody pointed it to the flag, which is all your callers have been talking about Jewish disrespect. None of your callers was talking about what Deshaun Jackson was trying to say. So I wanted you to ask the caller, do you even know what Deshaun Jackson was trying to say?
I know exactly what he's trying to say, but you can't taint a message with another abhorrent message. You just can't do it, man. It's not the message doesn't get across. Like, your intentions were to uplift black people and Black Lives Matter and the black struggle. I get what he was trying to do, but you can't do it at the expense of other people.
Yeah, as you said, with the expense of other people, from us just asking people and surveying, and the school systems here are horrible. The school system doesn't really teach about World War II or the events that led up to World War II at all.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that's not taught. And if it's a 33-year-old guy, or I'm 39, and we might not be up on it, just like it's some things that we're not, you know, basically studied on, when we go to discuss it or learn it or share it, I mean, we're going to be getting persecuted for not knowing what we don't know. See what I'm saying? Like, that history is not taught. And I want
you're not considering one thing. You're not considering the thought that was put out shocked the conscience of a culture of people, a religion of people. You seem to be blowing that off. Now you're making your points on your side, which is fine, except you are like totally disregarding the feelings of a major class of people.
I didn't disregard it. So the thing is, talking about the Holocaust of the Jewish people, the main topic of discussion was the blacks, not the Jewish people.
You still not getting my point here. What I'm saying is, whatever your message was and whatever your intentions were, you threw it down the drain when you did the Hitler reference. It just, at that point, you're wrong. So I get what you're trying to defend certain things here, AJ, but you can't do it that way. It's disrespectful to other people. Let's go to Ron in Collingswood. Ron, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ron.
Hey, Mike, just wanted to tell you something good. Just came back from a three-day mini vacation from the shore, and we had three great days of weather and eating and drinking.
That's awesome.
And I came home, and I had my Golden Rose showed up from John.
Oh, look at that.
And my wife was
Golden Rose. Beautiful. See, yeah, now you come back from vacation, and the wife feels good about the vacation, and she gets a rose.
And she even turned on the Mike Missinelli show today.
That's awesome. Is she watching it right now?
Yes, she is.
What's her name?
Anna.
Anna.
Yes.
Yes. Good use of that rose. Put it prominently on the coffee table.
Yes. She put it in the rose in a vase and everything.
Beautiful.
Already.
Nice.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And my sports question is, do you think the NFL will put fans in the stands this year?
I doubt it. There might be some people that try it because it's such a big stadium. You can space people. So I don't know if it's worth it. You know, the revenue they're going to get from 5,000 people, I guess, every drop counts. But to me, I don't know if they cross that road.
Yeah, it's like we got tickets for the Eagles-Steelers game in October 11th, finally, and we're kind of looking forward to that. So, well, we shall see.
Yeah. The only thing I can advise the season ticket holders is I would defer my tickets. I'd be safe in my nice little house, watch the action, and don't risk anything, and then you don't lose a drop.
Right.
All right, man, listen, we're in movies, okay?
Yes.
And we have our first four draft picks. Godfather, Godfather 2, Wizard of Oz, Pulp Fiction. The fifth pick in the movie draft is what?
Shawshank Redemption.
That was, I knew that was going to come up soon. All right, Shawshank Redemption, fifth spot. Good spot for it, I think.
It is a good spot for it. That was also Mike Mulhern, who's producing. He's been producing all week. That was his pick.
Oh, it was his pick.
And he's also disappointed that we didn't pick the internet in the initial 10.
Yeah, the internet was another thing, another one that should have been considered. Well, no question about it.
Maybe in the spot of electric guitar.
Yeah, electric guitar was an upset.
Slide in internet.
Yeah, electric guitar and stereo were probably luxury items that probably don't belong. But, you know, that's like I said, this is the thing about this draft. It's all subjective what people are thinking about.
Yes.
So it's your pick, sixth pick.
And since you put in one of your favorites on the last pick, I'm going to do one of my favorites on this one, and I'm going to go with Goodfellas.
You're
going to
go
spot.
Goodfellas.
I love Goodfellas. It may
in
not.
The sixth spot.
It's probably too high, but I love it.
And okay, if you put it in Pulp Fiction, it's your pick.
Yeah.
So you select Goodfellas.
I went Goodfellas.
Now, there's not a lot of people that would argue because they enjoy it. Now, as far as, like, I look at this list as what the fullness of a movie is what convinces me that it's top 10.
Yeah. I'm also always a sucker for movies that include cocaine scenes for some reason.
Really?
I don't know why.
What do you mean?
It enhances movies for me for some reason.
Cocaine,
like Blow?
Like any movie that has those kind of scenes in it, for some reason, I elevate the movie. I don't know why, because I've never touched cocaine.
So the scene where he's with, what's the girl's name?
Oh, yeah.
What's her name?
The second girlfriend. Like, he got her through the first girlfriend that he got dumped on.
Yeah, Demi Mazur.
Yeah.
Character. What was her name?
Oh, God, what was her name?
I don't remember her name. I don't remember her name.
So you like that scene where he's all red-faced and blown up and messy.
Yeah, and all paranoid and all that. That kind of stuff actually enhances the movie for me in fullness.
And then when he goes into the hotel room with the Beansy from The Sopranos, his Pittsburgh connection.
Yes.
Oh, Karen, you want to see helicopters?
Like Sandy.
Sandy.
Sandy, there it is.
All right, cigars. So you got Goodfellas. All right, Natalie Agnoff, the seventh pick in the draft is what?
It's going to disappoint you.
You get your poor Gump in there, are you?
My mom always
said, oh, no, it's going to be Gump.
Life is like a box of chocolates.
Gump in the seventh spot.
My impression is terrible.
A lot of people would put that in the seventh
spot. It's a great movie.
A lot of people would overall like the Gumpness of it and include it in a top 10.
Jen A.
All right. Gumpy. All right, for me... I'll tell you what, this is a tough spot for me because I can go. You know what? I'm gonna upset the world here because it was so impactful and it was so different that you saw on the screen. I'm gonna go Star Wars.
That's a great one. That's a great one.
All right. Even though it's not really my genre movie.
No, it's not.
I'm going Star Wars in the eighth slot.
Nice.
All right, let's go to Thomas and Broomall. Thomas, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Thomas.
Hey, guys. What's up?
What's up, Thomas?
So I wanted to talk to you about the JT thing.
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm hoping we don't lose him. I don't think that the Phillies can risk him going to free agency. I think we have to sign him before then. I believe, didn't he have like a player arbitration hearing a few months ago that didn't go his way?
Yeah, he lost. He lost.
You know, he gels well with this team. You know, Bryce Harper yelling sign him the other day was a huge part. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it'd be like a hit to the gut if we lost him.
But how can they lose him, Thomas? This is where I think you got to get to the end game. They can't really lose him because they know that they can pay more than anybody.
Yeah.
Right? Let's look at it. If I'm the Phillies, I go, okay, this is a climate that's different now. None of these owners are going to like break banks here, and I would suggest collusion. What's probably going on. So he goes, all right, and the agent goes, Jesus, the best I can get out in the field is 18 mil. The Phillies, I'll tell you what, I'll give you 20.
Yeah,
you know, like they can't lose. I don't think.
No, I guess not. I'm just in the middle. I just don't know which way it's going to go. Be honest with you, in my opinion.
Yeah, don't fret.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not going to lose them.
Yeah. Can I pick a movie?
Certainly. You got the eighth, ninth pick in the draft.
I mean, I would say any Robert De Niro film. I mean, he already covered, half the category as it is. I'm going to say A Bronx Tale. I watched that when I was young. I enjoyed the movie. I mean, he's been in a lot of movies.
Ninth?
No.
Ninth, A Bronx Tale?
How about Raging Bull? Is that better?
No, it's your selection. It's your choice. If you say Bronx Tale, you go Bronx Tale.
I'll take Bronx Tale.
All right, you got Bronx Tale. Not a great movie.
I love A Bronx Tale.
Great movie. It's a good movie. It's, you know, it's not my favorite.
Bronx Tale?
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think it's that well acted, to be honest with you.
Yeah, lead actor weak.
Chaz Palminteri?
No, Chaz was not the lead actor.
The kid.
Oh.
Colosula.
He's a terrible actor.
Yeah. That held
it
back.
It was thin. The Bronx Tale was thin to me.
Well, it was tough because it was a one man show.
Yeah. It's more of a Broadway play type of play. And listen, I don't dislike it. I'll watch it. I just don't think it's that full of a movie. So it doesn't deserve 9. But it's subjective. So Tyrone, you got the 10th selection.
Yes, and this is a movie that changed things a little bit for how movies were done, and why I'm picking it. It's one that people might not think of, Jaws.
Jaws is very highly regarded, and I think it would make a lot of people's top 10 list.
Yeah, I think the suspense that it builds, because you don't see the shark, if anybody hasn't seen it in a while, for a very, very long time. One of the problems I have with some movies now is when they have a villain, you see the villain in the first 5 seconds, and it doesn't build the, you know what I mean? Like, it built very well. And then that mayor reminds me of a lot of leaders today.
Uh-huh.
The mayor from Jaws. A lot of leaders today out there acting just like that.
All right, that's a fair selection. Now, the following got nosed out for me in this top 10. So you can go Schindler's List.
For sure.
You can go Braveheart for me. Full movie.
Yeah, I can't with any Gibson, but I hear you.
Yeah, but
I'm
the movie
Gibson
itself.
Out.
Okay.
Him and Kanye out.
All right. The movie itself to me was full.
Yes, very.
And then like Apocalypse Now, you could throw in.
Absolutely.
You could throw in Chinatown, possibly.
Yeah, that's a great movie. Great movie.
And maybe coming from the rear, Cuckoo's Nest.
That's strong. Now, if you're going to put an animated movie in, if you were, I would make the argument, because of the technology and where it went, that Toy Story would be the one to pick.
Toy Story is well regarded in that vein.
What about Lion King?
Lion King was very, very good, and maybe even a better pure movie than Toy Story. But Toy Story, Shrek,
revolutionary.
And, right, because of how it looked in Disney buying Pixar. And it was also good. It was good, and it had...
Yes. You could also make a case for E.T. if you're going down.
I was
going
to say E.T. That was going to be my pick.
That's a family-ish.
Yes. Yeah. All right, so 610-632-0975. Let's go to Jim in Ashland. Jim, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Jim?
Hi, Mike. I want to start with something heavy and then maybe end with something a little bit on the good side.
Okay.
I'm 70 years old, and I taught American history and government in a mostly all-white high school for 35 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I taught tolerance. I taught that race doesn't matter. I taught that creed doesn't matter, that sexuality doesn't matter to my kids. And I could cry the way that this world is today.
Yeah.
I was first introduced to racial problems when I was a freshman in college, in a small college in Pennsylvania. And one of the first friends I made was black. And we didn't have many African-Americans when I'm in my area. But we went downtown, and we were in a drugstore. And he was getting some things, and I was watching people go to the counter, and this one guy paid with a check. So then he left. My friend came up and was giving him a check, and the guy said, "Oh, I'm sorry, we don't take checks." And I lost it. I said, "Hey, wait a minute, I just saw you take a check. Oh, you must be mistaken, we don't take checks." I'm getting hot out of the collar, and I'm ready to cause a big scene, and my friend just gets me by the arm and says, "Let it go. I've had this before. Why don't you go to the bank and get some money?" And he kind of calmed me down.
I assume this was rural PA?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And he had to calm me down. I went into teaching, and I spent my lifetime teaching my kids that these things don't matter. I never see race. Honest to God, I don't see race at all when I see football.
Well, see, what you did is you learned a big, big lesson there. So that part of the education is that experience for you.
And the good part is on Facebook lately and in phone calls, my kids are texting me or Facebooking me saying, "Thank you for what you taught us over the mm-hmm. years." You know, that they learned from me, and that makes me feel good. But I don't understand the world today. I just could cry every time I see it on TV.
I hear you, man. You sound like you got a good heart. So the only thing you can do is influence others with your thought process.
I tried.
Yeah. All right, man. You wanna play our little draft game here?
Oh, I sure do. I love movies. Right.
Well, the movies are over now. It's a new category.
All right. Darn, I had a good
so
one
this
for
is
you.
This is actually offbeat. This is dinner entrees.
Dinner
entrees. What would be your number one pick for a dinner entree?
Does soup count?
What are you like? Is this a Seinfeld episode?
Soup, I don't know.
Soup. You go soup number one?
Well, like either garlic bread or French onion soup.
All right, French onion soup it is.
I'm with
French
it.
French onion soup is the number one entree. All right.
I'm a big soup. fan. I love
that's
soup.
Not even food. Soup? I'm so tired of this.
What do you mean?
I hate soup.
Why?
Soup stinks.
Soup is
like I'm so
phenomenal.
Tired of this
soup
thing.
Soup is phenomenal.
Soup stinks.
No, it doesn't.
I hate soup.
Soup is phenomenal.
You don't drink a meal. Soup stinks.
Soup
stop
is
with
great.
Soup.
Soup.
Soup shouldn't
soup
exist.
Doesn't stink.
Soup is wonderful.
Soup is a preliminary. Like, it's not an entree. It's a preliminary. It's like, it's like Kenny Banya. You got the soup, but that's not a meal.
That's what I mean.
It's not a meal. But French onion soup, a lot of people swear by.
I love it.
I never did. I never got it, to be
really?
Honest with you.
Wait,
who wants a big lump of cheese on top of a soup?
I do.
Soup to me is broth and soup.
Soup
yeah,
is
like
good.
A hearty vegetable soup is soup.
Chicken noodle is
a chicken wedding soup is soup with the little meatballs.
Italian wedding. Yes.
That French onion is a bunch of slop thrown
it's
in there.
So good.
It's not.
The cheese.
I cannot believe
it. Melted cheese.
I got to be honest with you, Natalie. French onion soup. Madagon.
I know. I am a Madagon.
Or,
we know this.
Or Frenchagon.
Frenchagon. You know, if you Google Madagon, I come up on the first page. I'm not kidding. If you type Madagon into Google.
You know,
Google,
how I like to find Madagons? With a simple food condiment.
What do you mean?
Yellow mustard.
I love yellow mustard.
Yeah, of course. Of course you do. All right. Tyrone?
I'm going to do it for everybody. I have to do a filet.
Filet mignon.
Which I used to enjoy greatly in the past.
Yes. Why not? You can't lose with a filet mignon.
Yeah, it's
especially
hard.
Unless you're a veg now, Ellen.
I have to speak for everyone. I can get to my personal thing later.
Yes.
The filet is unbeatable.
Yeah.
To me, it's unbeatable.
I know what your second pick's going to be, too.
Probably.
I'm probably going to take it.
Oh, you got the third pick, Matt.
I was going to go salmon.
Salmon.
It's a great, you can do a lot of things with salmon as an entree.
All right, so you go on salmon, which leaves me. And I've already said, I don't really have a fave, so I'll go, Yeah, I gotta go. All right, I'll go. Mustacholi Bolognese. I'll go pasta with a meat sauce.
Shocking. Yeah,
because right? Without the meat, it's sort of side-ish.
Exactly. You got to have the...
Yeah.
All the pork. That's the flavor from Goodfellas.
That's what he was cutting the garlic with the razor blade.
No, he's putting in the pork. Oh, the pork. You got to have the pork. That's the flavor.
Yeah.
That was Scorsese's actual father doing that.
That was his name?
Oh, really?
Yeah. What was his name in it? Remember when they were going to kill Pesci? Vinny.
Yeah,
Vinny's name.
And he put too much onions in the salt.
No, that's right. I only put one onion in, Paul. That's too many. Vinny was the guy that Pesci asked, hey, Vinny, how long ago was it you was made? Hey, 30 years. Oh, Pike's Peak was a pimple then.
Yeah. Now think about how cold-blooded that is. You answer that question and you're glad-handing with the fella. You know what you're about to do to the guy.
Well, you know who killed him? My buddy.
Yeah, I know.
Tootie killed him.
Yeah, he killed him. Boom.
Bang. 610-632-0975. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
To 97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, yeah, it's 3:30 and time for a Twitter poll update brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons with Natalie Eganoff. Nat?
Thanks, Mike. Over 700 votes on this one today. Do you think the Phillies are taking a risk not signing JT Realmuto? 91.6% say yes, 8.4% say no.
Relax out there, you 91 point. Come on. Relax out there. We don't have to invent stuff to fret about right now, do we? We don't need to invent stuff to fret about.
I hear you, Mike, but what I don't think you're really seeing how... I think this is more of a reflection of how the city feels about the Phillies.
I agree with that, but you got to look at the sensible side of it. Whether you don't have faith in the Phillies or not, there is no way... Like, here's the thing. The financially strapped teams... will occasionally let a guy go like that.
Kansas City, Pittsburgh, right? Tampa.
Exactly. Or a team, like a guy that's a little older, who's in that category, where they don't want to bite the bullet on another big contract for a team that's financially able to do it. A guy who's, he's right in his prime, maybe at the, you know, back end of the prime, he's 29. But there's no reason for them not to sign him. There's none. It doesn't benefit them in any way not to sign them. So you got to look at that part of it.
All right. Well, later on in the show, I want to put you on a lie detector machine and have you speak on behalf of the Phillies with a couple other questions that are related to this.
Okay. The lie detector machine, huh?
Yep. Where you have to be speaking for the Phillies if the Phillies had to be completely honest with how they feel.
About JT you're talking about?
In general, which will lead to some of my fear with JT.
Okay.
You'll have to, this is answers that they wouldn't be able to answer necessarily honestly, but you're going to answer on their behalf honestly.
Okay, I'll do that. I'm trying to look at it. Listen, I'm not trying to put a Phillies brand on my answer here. Because I know people distrust the Phillies. I can't, like, do that. I give you an answer saying I distrust the Phillies. Logical sense says that there's no way they can lose the guy. Nor should they. There's no upside to them losing the guy. They don't have a guy that's ready to take over. The money doesn't matter to them. They're in a situation where they don't want to negotiate against themselves. They don't want to go to 23 if they don't have to. But if they have to, they'll go to 25. Like, if somebody's out there going to pay him 23, they're going to go, well, we're not going to lose it. We'll pay 25. They're just trying to set a market, and then they're going to, because it, otherwise, I mean, that's financially wise, don't you think?
It is.
But what are you going to do? Take him off? Like, at the end of the day, if he gets a new contract, who cares if he's ticked off now that you went about it that way?
Because of the. I just,
he's not. Well, I'm going to sign for less money now that they put me through the ringer. Like, nobody does that.
No, but I think that there's something to be said about how you handle your clubhouse, and basically the relationship between the players and the owners. I think that there's issues around baseball.
There's no question about that.
And you can smooth some of that over when you just come forward and give have to be a fair offer. Like, if you say, if the rumors were 23. And you come with, let's say, 21 and a half, right? Even if he says no, you're kind of like, you give him 21 and a half, 4 years.
Yeah.
And you come forward with something like that, and you leak it out to the person you need to leak it out to to get it out there.
But you also have to play into the ownership culture that's out there.
And that's what I'm afraid of.
Yeah.
I think they're going to straight up collude, and he's going to get 16. I don't think I think there's no way he gets 23. I think he's going to get like 16.
Well, then they still have him. They just have for 16.
Yeah.
Now, that's to his misfortune, but they'll still have him.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is they're not going to lose him.
I get it.
All right, let's go Bill and Magnolia. Bill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bill.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
What's up, Bill?
About the Sean Jackson deal. I believe wait a minute. Let me get my food out. My food.
Yeah, it's your pick. Yeah. It's your pick on the food.
Yeah.
Fifth pick in the draft, the food draft.
Yeah, I want to get my food. I'm starving here, but you're talking about it. Mine is ossobuco.
Oh, little veal shank.
There you go.
Ossobuco. See, I don't roll with the veal shank. I can't eat a veal leg. I can't eat a little calf's leg. I can do it. I can go pork shank.
You're letting me down.
I will never go veal shank. I can't. I'm sorry. I know. I get the pork shank prepared the same way with a little red wine, demi-glaze, the whole, I like it. But I won't go with I can't have a piece of a little calf's leg in front of me. I'm sorry.
No, you got it. With a red gravy? Come on.
I'm sorry, not veal. Like I said, pork, I'll go pork, but not the veal.
And no one picked an Eastwood movie? What's wrong with you guys?
Well, which Eastwood movie would you put in there? Unforgettable, the only one in there.
Oh, come on.
What? Good Betty. Dirty Harry wouldn't get in the top 10. Come on. They were cliche movies. Come on.
Well, at least Natalie knows what I look like. So,
yeah. All right. What's your point on Sean Jackson?
Yeah, Sean Jackson. He meant every word he said. His apology to me is nothing. The damage has been done. He meant it. He said he meant it. And
all right. So, how are you going to handle this as an Eagle fan now?
As a fan, I had no respect for him at all because I didn't. A couple of years back, when he didn't want to play. Because he wasn't getting paid. To me, that was, that really rubbed me the wrong way. And now he's being paid.
When did he not want to play?
When he wasn't getting paid. He wanted more money the first time he was here.
Yeah.
And he didn't. He didn't want to play. Because he wasn't getting the money.
But he played. Like he didn't sit out.
He didn't go all out.
How do you know?
I don't think. I watched him.
Come on, Bill. All right, whatever. All right, it's ossobuco, the fifth pick.
I'm going to go with Mike Mulhern's pick because I used to really like this as well. It's a catch-all thing that a lot of people like. I like a chicken parm. I liked a chicken parm as an entree a lot.
Chicken parm is an excellent selection. Very popular that a lot of people. I have never met a person who doesn't like chicken parm.
Right. And Mike, he had it, but I agree with him. That used to be.
Yes.
And since Nat took my salmon.
I thought you were going to go lasagna.
I hope you didn't say it. I keep getting, because the way you set it up, that 10th pick, Oh. And I thought lasagna. I was trying to stay true to my boy.
Oh, that's right. You get, that's right. You get the 10th pick.
So I thought I'd get lasagna. Maybe it's still last.
I thought that was going to be your next pick, though. But yeah, so I see what you're doing. It's a strategical move.
Yeah, because the chicken parm to me was, to me, the, have very wide appeal. And everyone can afford it. Some people can't afford the filet.
Yes. And I see, my next one was a variation on that. So we'll go to Nat first. Go ahead, Nat.
Mine might be a little controversial, but I'm going to give, I'm going to go tacos.
Okay.
What, oh, how about it?
What kind? Yeah, specifically?
Yeah, there's so many.
I mean, I guess
I'll just stick with chicken.
Not chicken, right?
Pollo.
I don't know. Polo.
yes.
No, classic.
Chicken
beef.
Taco. Are beef. You going beef tacos?
Well, classic, right?
Or the soft shell.
You just said
hard
pollo.
Hard.
Hard shell.
Hard shell
beef taco.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or chicken. Sure.
That works.
Pez.
All right, so that leaves me with the 8th selection? No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Me, I'm the 8th?
Mm-hmm. Then the caller will be ninth, okay. And I get.
All right. So I was going to go chicken Milanese, but that's a variety of breaded chicken, so I won't go there. I'll go good old-fashioned American roast turkey and mashed potatoes.
Wonderful.
I'm a big fan of the roast turkey mashed potatoes.
Me too.
Okay. Now we go to the caller. And let's go with Greg in Bethlehem. Greg, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Greg.
Hey, guys. How we doing?
What's going on, Greg?
Well, call screener said you were talking about what makes people happy. And
tell me something good. Now I'm saying tell me something good. Tell me something good that you're feeling right now since we've been all heavy all week.
Well, I mean, it's sort of a twisted thing, but my son has been a heroin addict for 10 years, and it's good when he calls me, and he called me earlier today, and it's good to hear his voice.
That's awesome. That's awesome. That's, you're telling me something good that you feel in your heart. I love it.
Yeah, it's a good thing.
All right, Greg. I like it. Thank you for sharing that.
Sure. I don't know. Do I get to pick? I would go lobster. I don't know if he's picked lobster yet.
Oh, right? You're going to go lobster. Yeah, I figured somebody would come up with lobster. All right, yeah, so you got lobster as your entree. Now, did you want to say something about the Phillies also?
Yeah, well, I wondered about their rotation, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seems like they have the potential to put together, you know, a run that might be long enough to stand this short season, do you think?
No. what about the rotation that makes you feel that way?
Well, I just thought maybe Jake would not break down so quickly, and
I mean, that's a good thought. I mean, you have to count on that to happen. I'm not so sure that I'm confident that will happen. So that's why, like, when I look at the rotation, I go, you know, I can count on maybe two guys.
Yeah, well, maybe they can hit their way out of it.
Well, maybe. We'll see if that happens. All right, Greg, you take care.
All right,
there we go. Tyrone, you have the 10th selection on your dinner entree.
And we're going to go lasagna here.
You're going lasagna. Save the lasagna for the 10th selection. So here was the entree draft. French onion soup, number one pick. Good Lord. Filet mignon, 2. Salmon, 3. Prepared how?
I like it pan-seared.
Yeah, pan-seared.
Pan-seared salmon?
That's the...
With some lemon and capers.
Yeah, you cook it with the skin on.
Okay.
So that you get a... Yeah.
Skin side down?
You flip it one time.
All right.
So you end up getting both.
All right. Pasta bolognese. Ossobuco. Chicken parm. Beef taco crunchy. roast turkey mashed potatoes, the all-American dish. Lobster, and that's, you know, obviously one of everybody's favorite entrees, and the lasagna. I like it.
You could, if you roll out that menu, everybody will find something.
Yeah, exactly. Everybody likes everything that's on there. All right. So the next thing we'll do in the 10 draft is rock bands. And in the 4 o'clock hour, we're going to go hip-hop. Back to back. 610-632-0975. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
.347 We're watching the basketball tournament right now. The Philly team is close to losing. They're hanging in there. Team brotherly love with Khalif Wyatt and Ramon Moore. Losing to the Marquette team right now, 79-71.
Yeah, it's a good
and
squad.
The final, they had to get to 83, so that's going to be tough to overcome. But that was a good run for those guys, man. They were 13 seed?
Yeah, and they played well, and they just get it. It's not no shame in losing to a team that's just better.
Yeah, the Marquette team's a seasoned team. They've been in this for a long time. They got some pretty good players. They're 4th seed, I think.
Real fast, DeSean Jackson.
Mm-hmm.
He met yesterday, this according to Adam Schefter, with a anti-Semitic group.
Mm-hmm.
And today he is meeting with a 94-year-old Holocaust survivor. So Pete doesn't change what he said, but the last 2 days, those are actions that most people would think are positive, right?
And this is, I think, the strategy the Eagles would like to cultivate.
Yes.
Because when he goes into these avenues, he's winning points and he's making an earnest effort to learn, and that resonates with people. Whether he's sincere or not, he's making an effort to do it. And I think the Eagles are going, this is the way we'd rather handle it. Because if we suspend you, that causes a whole different set of trouble. So let's handle it this way. And I think that, there are some that aren't, some people aren't going to look at this like, okay, just because he's going to a synagogue museum or he's talking to rabbis and Holocaust survivors, that doesn't mean that what he said wasn't. And I understand that. If you feel that way, you're perfectly entitled to feel that way. But I think this is the way to do it at this particular point, because, and I'm talking about the Eagles. Now, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about the Eagles and the corporate strategy on where they think they can smooth this the best.
I agree with that. And you hope that, you have to, if you're meeting with a Holocaust survivor and nothing sinks in, then you're beyond, you know what I mean? Like, something has to sink in. Like, if Riley Cooper had met with a person who went through the civil rights movement, I would like to think that with him, it would have sunk in, even though he said something bad. I don't think he would be above the ability to learn.
No, exactly. All right, 610-622-0975 is how you get in. Martin in Aston, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Martin?
How you doing, Mike?
What's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing good. I just listened to what you were just saying in the intake that just came in about what he's doing to try to fix the situation.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe, I'm one of the callers that, like I heard you yesterday, with zero tolerance. I don't have zero tolerance for racism.
I have no tolerance for intolerance.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. So, I understood what you're saying. But, you got these guys, we got people in America, they do something wrong or whatever, and they get fired from their job for doing something racist. You got these Karens or whatever they call them on.
Right.
It's going on, with this stuff. People, they post stuff on Twitter or whatever, their job finds about it and they get fired. You even have people who work for the government who, they do something racist on there and they get fired. Mm-hmm. And then, you gotta with a platform that he has, you got to promote, you know, unity. Right now in the United States, we need unity. You know what I'm saying? We don't need divisiveness.
Listen, I think he was trying to uplift Black America. I really do. I think he was trying to, like, be supportive of the movement. But, again, you can't do it by putting down another culture, another religion. It's just not... And that kind of intolerance, like, to me, is easily recognizable. That's the thing that bothered me about this whole thing. Because it should be completely evident of what Hitler represents.
Right. I mean, that's common sense. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
And that's why, like, I had that opinion on Deshaun. It's not something that he had to reach far to learn about.
Right. I mean, you know, I was in the military, you know, retired military and stuff like that. You know, military, you know, we all, you know, our color is green. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fighting against, you know, like, you know, terrorism and stuff like that. If we got people, you know, defying our country, whatever, we're going to, you know, collapse from within. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The enemy doesn't have to do anything. So just, you know, I respect his opinion. But at this level, with the level he is, you know, you got kids looking up to him. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I got you. Yeah. And Martin, you want to start our 10 draft with the subject is rock bands?
Sure.
What would be your number one pick?
I would say Guns N' Roses.
Guns N' Roses, the number one selection. All right.
Guns N' Roses. I'm not picking at all based on what society thinks. The next two categories I will be picking solely just based on myself.
Okay.
So Queens of the Stone Age will be my pick.
I knew he was going to do that.
For the next two picks, I'll just worry about me. Next two categories.
Yeah, by the way, I was going to bring it up because Josh Homme, that's his name, right? Is that how you pronounce it?
Yes.
All right, so Homme, he just collaborated with somebody.
Did he? I didn't see it.
Yeah, I think he collaborated with a hip-hop artist.
Really?
Yeah, I heard the song the other day. Let's see. And I was thinking about you because I know that's your man.
Yeah, I mean, he's incredible. The band is incredible. They're the greatest band. They're better than the Beatles.
Yeah, he just collaborated with somebody.
I can't come up with what it is.
But all right, so it's your selection, Nat.
All right, I'm going to go Queen.
Queen.
With my man, Freddie.
Okay. All right. Well, I can't disrespect this band any further. So I go the Beatles. The low hanging fruit here. I could make the Beatles beyond a five.
Well,
after Guns N' Roses and Queens of the Stone Age.
Yeah.
And Queen.
Yeah, you love Queen. I was having this discussion with you yesterday. I go, I like Kansas and I didn't like Queen.
Right.
And they're both kind of theatrical rock.
Yes. Love Queen. Radio Gaga.
Yeah, Queen never did it for me.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Oh, it sends me.
all right, at 5 o'clock hour, we're going to go after the rock band, we're going to go hip-hop, and B. West will contribute to this as well. 610-632-0975 is how you come in. If you got something you want to ask B. West about the Deshaun Jackson situation, now's the time to do it. 4 o'clock hour is ahead on the Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.